is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
This podcast is a member of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts and content creators, visit bio.link/red5.
Produced with podcasting gear from Tascam. Trust your audio to Tascam. Sound thinking.
This show brought to you by Jersey Ninja. New items added weekly, superior quality products, excellent selection, competitive pricing, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. That's Jersey Ninja at jerseyninja.com, your source for great quality hockey jerseys and performance wear products.
Forgive the interruption, but I believe this requires your attention.
Meanwhile, at the above-ground underwater suborbital volcano lair...
This is urgent. We need a response team.
We're already putting together the best man.
With all due respect, sir, so am I.
I have a plan. It's real!
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.
Team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
Your show about all things Marvel with Mike, Kylan, and Eric.
What a bunch of losers. I am Groot.
That I did know.
These people may be isolated, unbalanced even, but I believe with the right push, it can be exactly what you need.
Suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
I have indeed been uploaded, gentlemen, online and ready.
And welcome to another episode. Issue. Why am I doing that?
I think it's kind of expected at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
It's not a bit, I promise. I really do promise it's not a bit. Another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. It is the Smugglers 3.
No.
Oh, my God.
No, it is not. Dude.
No, we're not.
Yeah. It's the Intrepid Trio.
Dude, you're more drunk than I am, and I've been drinking.
I would say I'm having a sugar crash, but no, I'm in range.
I got nothing to say. I don't know.
I'm at 90, a little on the lower end of my average, but I'm still okay.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
So it's weird. I'm type 2, but I'm hypoglycemic. I get sugar crashes, not sugar spikes.
Mm.
Whereas Melissa's type 2 and she's hyper spikes.
I'm rather jealous of you because the last few days my sugar's been higher than the Snoop Dogg and Willie Nelson getting together for the weekend.
Wow.
It's been well, in all fairness, it's been because I've been eating on leftover birthday cake from last week. So
okay, that's fair.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That'll do
just
it.
Just a little bit.
That'll do it. I'm within 3 months of my next doctor's appointment, so this is where I have to be good now.
Right. So you say that, and then I turn around and go, last year, February 23, when I had my 25th anniversary with Disney, they asked what type of cake I wanted. I said, I don't want a cake. I want a brownie, one double chocolate or dark chocolate brownie with chocolate chips in it, cream cheese frosting. I didn't really... And I said, just cream cheese frosting on the top. Well, yeah. They misinterpreted that to, I wanted the whole thing covered in cream cheese frosting.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I checked my sugar before I had a slice of the brownie. I was like at 83. 10 minutes after I had my brownie, I shot up to like 192.
That'll do it. It doesn't help that... The nights that we record and the night before, so Wednesdays and Thursdays, I eat with my son and my ex-mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. And she is the type, you cannot have a meal without a dessert.
Right.
And she kind of gets her feelings hurt a little bit if you don't get a dessert.
Well, you know, you got to have the dessert.
Yep. Well, I have a little dessert. Not a whole lot.
A little bit, you know.
Yeah. But see, here's the thing. Her husband was diabetic, but he controlled his with insulin.
Okay.
He did not control his through diet.
Right.
So he would just sit there. He'd drink the high calorie beer. He would eat the chocolate and the sweets and all that, and he'd just go right on with his day.
Yeah. See.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, when I was on insulin, I pretty much would, but then like I would have cases where like my blood sugar would drop stupid low. So I used that as justification to have, you know, the regular Coke or Snickers or something like that. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, you know what? I drop low anyway. So I didn't do it too much, but every now and then I used it as an excuse. So I get it.
Now that I'm getting weight under control and everything else, I went on a tear for a while and I started to gain the weight and I noticed that and I know what my limits are.
Yeah.
But I drink soda a little more often than I used to, especially if I'm having one of those days where like my sensor's going off every 5 minutes. It's like, right. Yeah, let's pump that and peanut M&Ms.
Now see, my biggest weakness is potato chips.
Yes.
It just is.
One of my new weaknesses, I got a bag at Christmas for my brother and his wife, and they sent another bag down with Zoe after she went up to visit them over her spring break. Caramel Old Bay popcorn.
Okay.
Caramel Old Bay. Oh, okay.
Actually pretty good. I could knock out a bag in one sitting if I wasn't careful. Anyway, we got Marvel news to talk about. But prior to, go check out the website, mightymarvelgeeks.net. Support our affiliates that you'll find on the right-hand side of the site. Supporting them supports us. Also, too, if you want to email us at mightymarvelgeeks@gmail.net or hit us up on X, formerly known as Twitter.
We're still going to call it Twitter. I mean, we still call Disney's Hollywood Studios Disney MGM.
Right.
It's where I started.
See, there you go.
Where I may be going back.
Really?
After show.
Is there? Okay.
It's one of three possibilities, but that's an after show.
Okay.
On X, formerly known as Twitter.
An information tease.
At Marvel Geeks or on Instagram at Mighty Marvel Geeks. So we got some collector's news to start us off.
Start us off, sir.
Marvel Legends Legacy figures are coming for April Fool's Day, and it's Deadpool and Wolverine.
Of course it is.
From the movies.
Of course.
Wolverine looks like he comes with an extra set of hands and a different head, whereas Deadpool comes with swords, four sets of hands, two pistols, a knife, and a little unicorn.
Good Lord, he's got more gear than the G.I. Joe squad.
Seriously.
I kind of almost want the unicorn. I want this figure just for the unicorn.
Well, of course.
So these will both be available for pre-order on April 1st. They don't give pricing. Oh, yes, they do. Wolverine's going to be, and it's based on, Wolverine figure is based on the post-credit scene of Deadpool 2, which is in reference to X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Okay.
Be $24.99. And the Deadpool figure is based on Ryan Reynolds' portrayal of the character in Deadpool 2 and is a repack in a sense because it came with Negasonic Teenage Warhead originally, but I think they added a few extra things. Does not give a price, but I'm going to assume it's going to be either $24.99 or maybe a hair more because of the accessories. Mm-hmm. As I click over to Entertainment Earth's site, they have Captain America Marvel Legends series, Dum Dum Duggan, Sharon Carter, and Nick Fury 3-pack, $74.99.
Okay, which Nick Fury are we talking about? We talk about MCU Nick Fury?
I'm going to say it's a little bit of both. Stand by.
Okay.
What you in the Whiskey Tango Foxtrot are you talking about, Mike Emke?
That's what I'm saying. When he said, It's Junior.
He just sent us the link. So
I would not mind getting these, because I have decided if I ever get the Shield, the Marvel Legends Shield figures, I want this costume.
I kind of like what they've done here.
Yes.
I love it. I really love it.
Because you could have either Nick Fury that you wanted.
Mm-hmm. I love the costume. This is why I asked the guys costume on our chat, how would y'all feel about a hockey jersey that had this look on it? So I'm actually talking to a gentleman who runs OKGoalie.com about making a couple custom jerseys.
I
think that would be appropriate for us with the Mighty Marvel Geeks logo in the front.
If I had that, I would wear a bowler hat to go with it.
Yeah.
I would be in possession of an eye patch. Oh my God, this is great.
Which means that Mike is left with Sharon Carter.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. Patton Oswalt's character, Koenig.
You're going to need a lanyard.
I got a lanyard. I got a couple of them. Anyway. So yeah, those are kind
of. Patton Oswalt was the. If Patton Oswalt had just pulled a trigger, all of the Hydra stuff would be over with.
Yep.
It's true.
Oh. I'm also looking too. It's an outlet deal. Marvel Legends, West Coast Avengers Retro
White
Vision.
Oh. That's an interesting.
Yep. Just because it's West Coast. I'll get it.
You would get it because it's West Coast.
Sorry, I love the West Coast.
I am not fan shaming you on that.
I wouldn't mind a West Coast Avengers series on Disney Plus. That could be one that goes in and out, and you can have a rotating cast of team members and cycle through the different team members.
Yeah.
Even cycle through the different team members during the season.
Yeah. Well, it'd be kind of like Justice League Unlimited.
Right.
Yeah, but is it sad that I would want it to be live action, not animated?
Sad in the fact that you'll never see it happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Animated, you got a chance.
Yeah.
You do.
Hey, one can dream.
Hey, I'm right now dreaming of a Moon Knight season 2, so I'm not gonna dream shame you either.
So Eric, was that you who sent the picture of Pedro Pascal supposedly in wanting to be a Moon Knight?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And apparently he's supposed to have confirmed it on his social media feed, but I don't follow him on social media, so I couldn't tell you.
Right.
This is potentially possible if he's also playing Reed Richards.
See, that's why I'm saying it's questionable, because Marvel doesn't double dip, not like that. Not when somebody's playing a significant role someplace else.
No.
But I could be wrong.
The only time we've got
two words, Josh Brolin. That's stretching it a little bit.
Yeah, it is stretching it a little bit.
Okay, how about this? Ralph Boner. From WandaVision. Pietro.
Yeah, but he played the same character from different.
I know, but I mean, just hear me out. They can do it. It depends on how big the character is in one movie versus the other series or whatever.
Right.
But I'll say now what I said in the chat. If this means we get Oscar Isaac back for a Moon Knight season 2, he can play a freaking army of clones for all I care.
Right.
Yeah. I just don't like the idea of Pedro playing two different active roles.
Well, also, let's remember, Pedro Pascal is essentially Taylor Swift with a mustache. He is freaking everywhere.
Yeah. Well,
right.
The media cannot get enough of him.
Speaking of Pedro, this is coming from CBR.com. Kind of reputable, I guess. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a lot of issues with them. I don't think, or heard of a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm. It's not Mike Zero, so.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, the Fantastic Four's place in the multiverse, MCU multiverse, is reportedly revealed. And it will not be set within the sacred timeline.
Hmm.
So just starting there, is that a mistake?
Yes. Could be. Maybe not.
According to trusted insider Daniel Reichman on his subscription-based Patreon account via X, formerly Twitter, the upcoming Fantastic Four reboot will take place in an alternate universe, not the Earth 616.
Okay.
Which, when, at what point did the MCU become Earth 616? I thought it was something that, I thought 616 was kept for the comics and the MCU was a different universe.
Once the sacred timeline became unraveled, I think that was a deliberate act by Marvel Studios just to say, we are tired of trying to keep all this stuff straight.
Okay. Right. Right.
So they won't carry the same, even though they're, it's not canon with the comics, they want to keep their sacred timeline 616, just like in the comics. Mm. That way, if a reader wants to go back and forth, everything's tied in.
Well, there are pros and cons to that. Because if you prefer a comic book version, the comic book version, but not if you prefer one, but not the other, you don't have to keep up with both.
Right.
But here's where I'm thinking. If the Fantastic Four is taking place in a different dimension, hey, they hop through dimensions. Just because their story starts in a different one doesn't mean they have to stay in that one.
Right.
Right.
So that could be a very easy plot device to get them into the present day.
Mm. That is a possibility.
I'm just saying, if I were in charge of this project, I'd keep that option there.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm.
That's a double home.
That's a deep home.
I forgot what movie I was just watching. They're going, you said home. There, you did it again. That's a double home.
What's that movie? That movie sounds familiar.
Is it a movie or a show?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with Eric. The Fantastic Four, like, they go everywhere. They do. They go everywhere. I think that for the non-comic reading public, okay, I'll put it like this. People who love the show, Westworld. As you watched the show, you had to realize that it was not a linear show. Like, there are scenes that you're watching. There are some scenes that happened way in the past. There are some scenes that are in the present. And there are some scenes that happened in the future. And, you know, you really don't realize what's going on until you're, I don't know, maybe four or five episodes into it. Then you finally get what's going on, more or less. Saying all that to say, sometimes that can be a draw. Sometimes for people that can feel like too much work and they don't want to go on that ride. Now, when we start talking about the multiverse, it, on one side of it, it means, yeah, OK, this is great. Everything is canon. We don't have to worry about blah, 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 because it's all good because we split up time. So, OK, great. But the minute you start talking about, I think, if you're a non-comic reading person or you're not really that deep into sci-fi or fantasy or whatever, I think the minute you start talking about, okay, there's this movie. Now, it's a Marvel movie, but it's actually happening in another universe, you know, and okay, there's the Avengers and all that, yeah, but this happens in another universe where the Avengers don't exist, or this happens in another universe before the Avengers show up, but it's not the Avengers that you know. It's another team of Avengers. That's going to blow some people's minds. They're going to be like, wait, I just came here for a movie. I didn't come here for a science project. You know, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Like me, I'm going to jump on that because I'm excited to get a decent Fantastic Four movie. But, you know, if you start complicating the mixture, I don't know if that's going to necessarily be a draw for people. Right. You know, I don't know. I could be totally wrong with this. If you guys feel free to email it and tell me that I'm wrong, I will eat crow gladly. But I think that if you're there just for a fun movie, this might be a turnoff.
Yeah. Well, to continue on, apparently filming will begin in August in London.
Okay.
And of course, all this comes after it's teased that it will be set in the 1960s with the cast artwork or the announcement artwork. But who's to say if this is now taking place in a alternate universe that 2023, 2024 looks like the 1960s in that universe?
Right.
Well, I mean, think about it. In the Fallout setting.
You read my mind, dude.
Yeah. I mean, the war started in 2077 and everything looked like it was in the 50s.
Right.
Which, speaking of which, I cannot wait for that series to drop on Prime.
I know. I know.
It looks great.
You know, there is a certain, I love that retro sci-fi aesthetic. I do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I do. Actually, a couple of days ago, I was watching a couple of episodes of the Wild Wild West. And you know, it's I love when people play with time periods like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so yeah, you know what? If we got a, when did they come out? Was it 63, 64 for the first Fantastic Four comic came out?
Something like that, yeah.
So if we got something like that, where, you know, it's like, you know, let's say it is the 21st century, but in that universe, it looks like the 60s. And the Fantastic Four, they got all this next level technology with that retro sci-fi aesthetic. You know, and they treat them like science heroes. I probably would. I'm not going to really care if it's this universe or that universe or the other universe. Or I'm not going to care about that because I think that would be a nice shot of something different that the MCU needs. Now you got me super excited for. I was already excited for Fallout. Now I'm super excited for Fallout. So there's that.
Okay, if this is going to be set in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
I would almost rather have it be in the sacred timeline and then have it fall in place in the MCU of, okay, we had Captain America, then Agent Carter, then we went Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, let's throw Fantastic Four in before that.
Technically, you had Ant-Man, and Ant-Man actually was...
Well, part of Ant-Man, yeah.
Was it 60s, 70s? So, you know.
70s, I thought.
I mean... My take on it is this. I think that the cosmic rays, let's say they said in the 60s. I think that the cosmic radiation, at least in my mind, slows down their aging anyway. Like, Reed doesn't age normal, wouldn't age normally anyway, because, no, he's rubber or elastic or whatever he is, right? Ben, he's rock. Sue and... Johnny, like they've had their molecules scrambled too. I think that this will greatly slow their aging anyway. So you know what? Let's say they started in the 60s, and you know they decide to call it quits or whatever. But something happens that forces them to come out now. I would be fine with that.
Okay.
I don't know if they do it, but I'd be down for it.
Eric, your thoughts?
I don't know. I want to see where it goes. I really do. I don't really have any strong feelings about it.
Okay. Now, another, it hasn't been announced who the antagonist is. A lot of people are thinking Doom, but David Krumholtz, who unsuccessfully campaigned to play the Thing in the Fantastic Four. Recently expressed interest in playing Mole Man, believing he would be a shoo-in for that role. He explained,
you know,
I'll do anything ahead. Marvel tells me to do. I'll probably end up playing like a superhero's therapist. Let's face it, there's slim pickings for guys like me in that world. Unfortunately, I'm old and I'm not in any kind of acceptable shape. So let's see how this works out, if it works out at all.
You know, I would be down for Mole Man.
I mean, Mole Man, wasn't Mole Man like the first person they ran into, like their first person they had to deal with anyway?
Well, here's the thing. This is really what this can kill a movie franchise, or at least make it a whole lot more challenging. When you start off the first movie in what you hope is many, with your number one all-time villain.
Right.
I mean, it was kind of like the Michael Keaton Batman, you started off with Joker.
Right.
The Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, you started off with Green Goblin.
Right.
You don't want to start Fantastic Four off with Doom.
No.
What if with Doom?
No, that's a completely different series.
Okay. What if with Doom, it's an end credit scene like we saw with Thanos, and he's teased that way for a few films before we really get Doom?
I could see that. I wouldn't mind that. A little Doom goes a long way.
You know what? Okay. It's not always a kiss of death. Case in point, Captain America, the first Avenger.
True. But,
you know, so.
But you understand where I'm saying, though.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you're saying.
I mean, it may not be the kiss of death, but
it makes it hard.
You run into the question of the challenge or the headache of how do you top that?
Right.
Now, with Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, Doc Ock was the greatest Spider-Man villain of really any of the movies.
Yeah. Right.
I said what I said.
Right. No, I agree with you. I mean, okay, here's a prime example. 1977, Superman the movie.
Okay.
We start off with Lex Luthor.
Right.
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 Now, you get to Superman 2. Yeah, now you have General Zod. Now, to be fair, Zod is on the same level as Luthor for Superman. One is super smart and uses his intelligence. The other is physically, basically, he's an amoral Kryptonian.
He's okay. Superman without the moral compass.
Right. So. It wasn't that hard for them to go basically make a lateral shift between one and two. But after that, it went downhill fast.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Captain America, Winter Soldier, number one, Captain America is somebody that is sort of in the non-comic reading public's radar, but that's only because he's Captain America. Okay. Right. So you have Captain America and Red Skull. All right. And to be honest with you, you had to go that way if you're talking about his origin story. You have to go with Red Skull.
Mm-hmm.
But then they do a lateral shift when you get to the Winter Soldier. Two things. Number one, the non-comic reading public doesn't really know who Bucky Barnes is or know who the Winter Soldier is, right? So you're taking what's a really good, really strong comic story, putting it on screen, and they throw a couple other things into that as well. So they were smart, and basically you end up doing a lateral shift or to a certain degree, maybe a step up. Mm-hmm. And so then when you go from that to Civil War, was that Captain America?
Yep. Even though it's Captain America, but it's also labeled Mini Avengers.
It feels like an Avengers movie. More than
Avengers 2.5 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you get, you move from Winter Soldier to Civil War. And I would say you're kind of staying on the same level at this point, even though it goes from being a Captain America movie to being more or less an Avengers movie. But it's a strong enough story that the villains are good, are strong enough that, you know, you're not basically Captain America hasn't. No, played his last card.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the thing is, Captain America, just from the sheer number, of strong characters in his rogues gallery, so to speak, I don't think it's really fair to use him as an example. But I did. but as more of I think about it now, I don't know if like people would like. I would think that it would kill the franchise if you start off with Dr. Doom, because that's what people are going to come to see. They're going to be there. Oh, I got Dr. Doom. Why do I need to see Fantastic Four too? Oh, who's Mole Man? I don't know who Mole Man is. I'd rather see them. Hey, here's Mole Man. You know, and you know, these people, oh, it's a Fantastic Four movie. Oh, we got Mole Man. Okay. But I'm here for Fantastic Four. Now you make a strong enough story. You get Mole Man, then you tease Dr. Doom.
Mm-hmm. Boom!
I think that's what they should do if they want to at least get two movies out of this. I agree with Eric. I feel like if they lead with Dr. Doom, people aren't going to care about Mole Man or Galactus or whoever else comes up next in number two. They're not going to care about it.
Yeah. What you're going to want to do is you want the first movie to be focused on the heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to be, you have to get the audience to care about these characters.
You do.
Because you're going to want them coming back to the theater for the sequel. If they don't care about the characters in the original, they're not coming back. So that's why you don't put the number one, that's why you should not put the number one villain.
Right.
Now, maybe Batman and Spider-Man were bad examples because their respective rogues galleries are just that strong.
Right. But
right.
Going back to the Dark Detective, if you look at the Chris Nolan attempts,
mm-hmm.
he was smart. He brought in Scarecrow first.
Mm-hmm.
And Raj Al Ghul, and even kind of retconned it a little bit where Raj Al Ghul was really the one who trained him, mm-hmm. and it wasn't Ken Watanabe. Ken Watanabe was just the face of Raj Al Ghul.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So, that kind of played out, worked out nice, I thought.
It totally did. Like, honestly, that is one of my favorite Batman movies. Batman Begins, I totally love it. I know some people... Like, you know, if it's one of those weird, it's one of those movies that, like, as you get more and more years away from it, some people kind of poo-poo it for whatever reason. But I thought it was strong writing. I loved Scarecrow. And I thought he was a great villain to face for Bruce Wayne to first face off against with that and his quote-unquote mentor. You know,
I almost wish Michael Keaton faced off against Scarecrow.
Yes. Yes. It was sort of like when you got Penguin. Penguin was in the Returns, right? And once you get to Penguin, it's an okay movie, but I don't care about Penguin. I really don't. I don't. You know, there are villains that I really like. Ra's al Ghul was one of it depends on who's writing him, how much of a villain he is. But I like him as somebody that can actually challenge the Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. I liked that. I was glad for once that we didn't get the Joker. I was glad. I didn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we did get it, it was well done. It was really well done.
Yeah. Jim Carrey's Riddler wasn't bad. It just didn't, that almost seemed like it was set better to carry off of Michael Keaton instead of Val Kilmer.
Yes.
Yeah. As soon as it switched to Val Kilmer, they should have gone a different direction for Riddler.
They should have. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, so I think that when you're looking to make a franchise out of something and it's a familiar property, don't lead off with the big bad. Don't do that. You want to, but like they say, you always want to leave your people wanting more, right? So,
I mean, feel free to throw in a B-list villain to start,
mm-hmm.
and tease your A-lister for the next film,
mm-hmm. right?
Or
right.
That A-list villain is coming soon.
But I mean, like, and I wonder if, like, if Superman the movie, if the villain was Zod, like it was in Man of Steel, Like, if it was Zod, how well that would have been received. You know, it's sort of like, you know, you kind of have a freedom that if you're not something that's in the public knowledge, like, okay, Superman's in the public knowledge, Batman is, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, Sister and Greed, Captain America. They're all in the public knowledge. So, you know, so you kind of you're limited in who you can lead in with. But like, I wonder if people had gone to the movies wanting to see Superman and Lex Luthor, but you got Superman and Zod instead, would that movie still be a success? Now, mind you, we're talking about something from almost 50 years ago, and so sensibilities are different now. But, you know, just thought, I don't know, that's probably here nor there, to be honest with you, but...
Yeah, well, how about this? Comic book-wise, Marvel Comics is celebrating the decorated career of Scotty Young with a new...
Isn't it like his 10th anniversary?
It is his 10th anniversary.
Wow.
His work has popped up in Marvel for the last 20 years on covers, interior art, and even merchandise. It can also be found on Marvel Snap.
That's true.
But his variants has been... 10 years. He's only been doing his variants for 10 years. Mm-hmm. So just a little shorter than the length of this show.
You know.
So fans will get to see his giant size Little Marvel's Infinity comic get a print edition for the first time. Characters such as the X-Men, Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and more will embark on an adventure guided by Young throughout the Marvel Universe. There will be 27 Scotty Young covers, as well as the combined poster is listed below on the story over on comicbook.com. Mm-hmm. And there's some amazing looking art here. I've always loved his Captain America.
Let's put it this way. Scotty Young could illustrate the phone book and I'd probably enjoy it.
Yeah. Not the only time I'll enjoy it. Okay, now gotta go back to the distinguished competition real quick. Adam West did a great one in the Los Angeles phone book. He put his name in the phone book, said phone number, said see Batman, yellow pages. Go looking under superheroes, Batman in the yellow pages, says see Adam West. And you just flip back and forth. Loved it. Oh, his thing covers amazing.
That's great.
His Little Marvels are just superb. They really are.
Yeah.
So his Blade cover is pretty cool. All right. I'll have to get the Spider-Gwen, the Ghost Spider for Zoe. There's a Captain Marvel I'll have to get for Melissa. Of all of these, I don't know which one I would get for myself. So many cool ones. Probably end up getting Cap.
Is there a Rocket? Because I love his Rockets.
There is not. Didn't he do the Rocket and Groot for the one-off that Joe Caramagna wrote?
I want to say he did.
Right.
So, last story of the night that I have, it'll load up. Thank you. Thunderbolts, Florence Pugh shares first video from Marvel set.
I saw those pictures and it's kind of like, oh, I'm getting tingly.
Yep. I love the updated look on her because it's even updated from when we see her in Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for this. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. It's kind of like edgy Avengers.
Yeah. What's this going to be about? It's expected to be based on the Marvel Comics team of the same name. Who says this? David Harbour is quoted in this article of, I just made a joke about how it's like Dungeons and Dragons, where you meet in the tavern and it's like, there's a dwarf drinking beer and then there's an elvish figure over there. We all come together and then there's this ghost. It's not going to happen like that. I don't think. This was Harbour back in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a ghost. Could it be Black Widow?
I think the real answer to that question, or the real question we should be asking, how much money is it going to take to get Scarlett Johansson back in that role?
This is true.
I mean, did she not file a suit against Disney?
Right.
Yes, they settled it. They settled it. But, you know, just...
Yeah, but the other question, though, is that was under the Chapek administration. Now that we're back under Iger,
okay,
really, dude, not much difference at this point.
We never really were out from Bob Iger's influence, given that whole non-retirement thing.
Right.
Yeah, but what would Big Bob take this as a opportunity to quote unquote repair the ship or right in the ship, like he kind of did when he took over the reins from Eisner with Pixar?
I don't know.
Things that make you go, So, any other final thought? Any final thoughts, guys?
I don't have one.
Okay, I have a thought.
Uh-oh.
I have a thought. Because in Thunderbolts, we're having Red Guardian, the Russian Captain America.
Right.
And he's going to be meeting up with Bucky. Okay. Sure. They'll wind up fighting alongside each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wanting to see how they do against each other.
Oh, you got to see that.
Exactly.
I'm kind of hoping we get that in the beginning of the film.
Yeah. Because you remember David Harbour was talking smack. He said, you know, his character could have beat up Steve Rogers.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I want to see Bucky kind of make him eat some crow there.
But the other question is, potentially, is Steve Rogers the Captain America that Red Guardian actually fought?
I don't think it would have been.
So you're thinking that it would have been Bradley?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Bradley would have been around that time as Captain America. Based on the knowledge that was dropped on us during Falcon and Winter Soldier.
But he only went on one mission, though, right?
In the comics.
That's true. They kind of black opped him, didn't they? Like he wasn't. They kind of were dropping him behind them in the enemy lines. It wasn't like he was the face of the military.
Yeah, he was not the face of it. No.
And I think part of that was at the time the government or the military would have been afraid to have a black man as Captain America. Because you notice that's why Bradley was a little upset. Mm-hmm. Was very quick to tell Falcon. Why can't I remember his other name?
Sam Wilson.
Sam. That he was very quick to tell Sam, you weren't the first black Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
And even realistically, in the comics, Bradley's Captain America came out before Sam Wilson.
He did, yeah.
So a lot of truth in that line from the show, even into the comics. So very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I still have to say I was pleasantly surprised that they didn't shy from that story. You know, I was kind of thinking that they would have been a little more timid. Given the nature of everything, you know,
right?
That wasn't the case.
No, and thankfully it wasn't the case.
Mm-mm.
So, any other final thoughts, gentlemen?
Nope, that's mine.
No, I'm good, man.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
I say it's just time to go dark.